City of Iqaluit public hearing. We will start in the public hearing 04. It's on bylaw number 901, amendment to the general plan, bylaw number 703. Jennifer Jarvis is here, and we'll be. Is there any representations?
I received no rulings on representation.
Thank you. Okay. It's weird now because we have multiple things. Number two, bylaw number 902, amendment to the general plan, bylaw number 704. Jennifer Jarvis, is there any representations?
For bylaw number 902, that I did receive some comments from the principal from the school in Apex, and she has concerns for students from the western side of Apex as they walk or bike in front of the city building, and we were in discussion with her. They would like to see an easement put in the Abe OPEC hall along that and the city garage at the back end of it to provide a trail to the children so they could easily get to the school. So I think that is something that the city might like to consider. Thank you.
Are we allowed to ask questions? No way. That's strange. Okay. Yeah. Number three, bylaw number 903, amendment to the general plan, bylaw number 704. Jennifer, do you have any representations?
I did receive a note from Mr. Duncan Cunningham, and I'll read that out for you. He could not make the meeting tonight. He has one concern only, and that is if the dental clinic is going to be built to be building to house transit workers, then there should be a training plan submitted to the city for the training of local people. I have heard complaints about the insensitivity and racist remarks about Inuit. The clinic should be training Inuit, and simply building more transient housing is contrary to the spirit and intent of the Nunavut Lands Claims Agreement and Nunavut's goal of increasing our Inuit employment. This type of clinic is needed, and it will make a lot of money. At first, it will be necessary to spend money on transients, but a plan should be in place to start training Inuit, which in the long run will save the clinic money. I believe that an employee training plan should be a condition of the zoning change. Thank you.
Thank you, Jennifer. We'll be calling for input from the public. Obviously, there's no one here, but I still have to follow the rules. Calling for a third and final representation from the input from the public. Seeing none, I deem this public hearing to be closed. We will now start City Council meeting number 30, October 27, 2020, and I have a few amendments first. First, I would like to introduce, is she around there? Allison, come here, Allison. Allison Drummond, our Senior Director of Corporate Services, just joined us yesterday for the first day, so I just wanted to say hello and give everyone a chance to meet you. Thank you. So we have, like I said, we have a couple amendments. New business request for number 9F, request for decision, Housing Task Force consultant work. Jeff Burns from our Economic Development Officer will present that to us. Number 10, committee reports, 10C, Cemetery Advisory Committee, October 21st, 2020 report. Councillor Kumlik, the chair, will present that to us. And 12, in camera 1, as per section 22.2A, CTV Act and bylaw 526, section 67, legal matter. If I can get a motion, Councillor Stevenson. Councillor Kumlik seconds. All in favor? Unanimous. Thank you, everybody. We will start with a moment of silence. Perfect, thank you. We'll move right into minutes. I already did the adoption of the agenda. I did a little bit backwards there. Sorry, everybody. Minutes A, City Council meeting number 29, dated October 13, 2020. I need a mover and a seconder. Councillor Shepherd and seconded by Councillor Awa. Any comments, questions, concerns? Seeing none, I'll call for a vote. All in favor? Unanimous, thank you. B, Planning and Development Committee of the Whole meeting number 08, dated October 20th, 2020. I need a mover and a seconder. Councillor Stevenson moves. Councillor Kumalik seconds. Any comments, questions, concerns? Seeing none, I'll call for a vote. All in favor? Unanimous. Thank you, everybody. Declaration of Interest. Seeing none. I'll move to statements. Any councillor statements tonight? Councillor Kumla, go ahead.
Thank you, Mayor Bill. I want to talk a little bit about old trucks, old cars. I have a couple of people approaching me about what the city plans to do with the old dirty cars sitting beside the houses. I do have one too. I think this is something we need to start planning and discussing again, because it costs about 300, I think, if not close to 400, to get rid of a vehicle. Plus towing, and then there's a cost for to change to take the fluids away, oil and antifreeze. I know that we did moratorium in 2015 because of the dump fire, and I think those fluids caused the dump to get to catch fire. I think that's why we made that regulatory for getting rid of cars, trucks, and snowmobiles. One of the hardest things that ordinary people cannot do is get a disposable permit. I know it's easy for us to say, go get it at the office, but I think that's one of the roadblocks that people are hesitant to do. Small communities like Joe Haven and Akvet, which are not a tax-based community, managed to contact or work with Summerhill Impact in the Toronto area to recycle old vehicles. I think we should do that too. I'd just like to remind the city too that GN presented to us a levy cost that we probably can apply to get rid of old cars, and that was presented in 2016 by ED&T. I'm not sure if the government has passed that to make it regulatory. One of the things that I think we should be thinking about is at least get elders to get a discount if they want to get rid of an old vehicle. I know some years ago our staff or bylaw was going around the community long time ago checking which vehicles are to be put into garbage, and they talked to the owners and they put a big X on the vehicles so that the city can pick them up and take them to the garbage. I think that's something that we need to do. It costs quite a bit, like pickup trucks are extra $50, and then there's charge for $15 for batteries, and then $15 per tire, and usually there's four tires would come to $60. So at some point, I think we need to look at this issue again. That's all I wanted to say. Thank you.
Sorry, yeah. Thank you, Councillor Kumulika. We can put that on the next Engineering and Public Works Committee so that we can have some information back. I see Councillor Stevenson, the chair, shaking his head, so we'll get that done for you.
Thank you.
Councillor Awa? Councillor Natak?
I just want to inform Council. I'm going to have to go on a medical travel because of my prosthetic leg. It needs repairs. And I don't know how long I will be. The last trip I went for my leg, I had to be gone for a whole month. I know that it's not really good for me to do that physically, but I have no choice. When I get to Ottawa, and I will need to have like a bed that is not too high. The beds down there are really high, and the toilets doesn't fit me, and I think she knows that now too. I just want the mayor to be aware. I'll call once in a while. I don't call during meetings, but I can take part if you're all in a teleconference. So when next month I'll be able to attend committee meetings though.
Acknowledge that in the next couple months we will be able to have translated services on our call-in, so he'll make it a little bit easier when you're traveling. Any other councillor statements? Seeing none, we will move right into deferred business. I unmuted myself. I don't have an update unless Deputy Mayor does today. We can skip right over this one. Nope, good. We'll skip over this one today. And move right into, unless anyone has any questions about, I think there's an item later on about the Housing Task Force. Move into second reading of bylaw number 901, amendment to the general plan, bylaw number 703. Councillor Kumulik moves. Councillor Awa seconds. Comments, questions, concerns? Moving too fast for you. Sorry. Seeing none, I'll call for a vote. All in favor? Yes, thank you, sorry. Unanimous, thank you. Moving into bylaw number 902, amendment to zoning bylaw number 704. A mover and a seconder, please. Councillor Shepherd moves. Councillor Flaherty seconds. Comments, questions, concerns? Seeing none, I'll call for a vote. All in favor? Unanimous. Thank you, everybody. Moving into three, bylaw number 903, amendment to zoning bylaw number 704. A mover and a seconder. Deputy Mayor Brewster moves. Councillor Awa seconds. Comments, questions, concerns? Councillor Stevenson.
Thank you, Maribel. This is the one that had, in the public hearing, had a comment that I wasn't sure that I understood quite clearly, and I'm wondering if Jennifer could shed some light on exactly what... This is the one that Duncan Cunningham was commenting on, and I'm not 100% sure what he was asking for. Do you perhaps have a summary of what you think Duncan was asking for?
I was a little questioning what Duncan's message was in this email as well. It appears that he feels that there will be employees, perhaps transient workers living in the upstairs. I think that was his concern. But I'm just reading between the lines.
So because there's transient workers, he wanted to create training programs so that there'd be more Inuit workers or Nunavummiut workers? Is that?
That is what I got from that letter, yes.
Okay, perfect. Thank you.
Any other questions, comments, concerns? Seeing none, I'll call for a vote. All in favor? Unanimous. Thank you, everybody. Moving into new business, City Council meeting dates December 22nd, 2020 and January 8th, 2020, verbal report 2021, sorry, yes, I'm not going back in time, we're going forward. I sent out an email to everybody to let you know, but we need these cancellations due to staff shortages, translation services, and the move to the new facility, which we're not 100% sure will be completed for the chamber AV components and stuff for the January 8th meeting. So we would like to ask for permission to cancel those two meetings in a row, understanding that obviously if an emergency or something like that pops up, that we may call a special meeting or an emergency meeting. Councillor Shepherd moves. Councillor Akumalik seconds. Comments, questions, concerns? Councillor Nuttak?
Yes, I'm already aware of that, of both dates, and I will agree to it if nothing critical comes up.
No, any other comments, questions, concerns? Seeing none, I'll call for a vote. All in favor? Unanimous. Thank you, everybody. Moving into new business B. Call for nominations to the Iqaluit Community Joint Planning and Management Committee of the Sylvia Grinnell Territorial Park. Amy?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Just wanted to draw your attention to a letter that was sent to Council. It is in your package. The GN has issued a call for nominations for a member to join the Joint Planning and Management Committee. It's for the Sylvia Grinnell and Kamalvik Territorial Park. This group had come to the City Council, I believe it was the former council, over a year ago, and they would like a member of somebody representing the city, either a councilor or staff person, to sit. They are inviting a city staff person or a council member to sit on the committee. And given the work that the city is doing on cabins and its green spaces, and the fact that the park is also looking at how it's managing cabins and so on, it may be a good idea for the city to take this opportunity to appoint someone to participate. So I just wanted to draw your attention to that and to see if the council had any nominations or recommendations.
Councillor Stevenson.
Thank you, Maribel. So Amy's characterization of that meeting from a year ago is absolutely correct, and when they presented, the council at the time suggested that there should be a representative from the city on the committee, as it certainly applies to, you know, working together would only make sense as the two spaces, the city space and the park space, make, you know, work together. I don't read this letter as asking for that, so unless you've been in discussions that are separate, this letter is asking for us to put a nomination of a individual from Iqaluit who demonstrates an interest, not appoint, and that would be a nomination to something, not to appoint somebody from the city. And I'm hoping that your interpretation is somehow correct, but it's not the way I read that letter.
Thank you. So I understand that the call is for Iqaluit representation. They had emailed the city specifically inviting a nomination from the city. And so that's why I'm bringing it to you today. There can likely be other nominations from other community members as well, but it may be a good opportunity to nominate somebody or to bring forward somebody from the city.
Councillor Stevenson?
So to be clear, though, then they wouldn't have special standing as a member of city or representative of the city on the board. We're just talking about nominating somebody that we consider appropriate for that position, correct?
Yes and no. There are certain, I guess, requirements for membership under the under that committee. And a city designate is not a part of an official function of that committee or official position within that committee. However, they had reached out to the city and asked if there is somebody from the city that would be able to sit on that committee. And I had attended a meeting following that meeting where the representatives came to council. I had attended a meeting which was quite productive, and I think that that appointing someone from the city would be beneficial.
Just to add to that, I think that that letter is more of a form letter that they sent to many stakeholders. Councillor Stevenson?
Yeah, that's good, and I'm glad that we've clarified. I'm kind of pushing the issue because at that meeting, that's what we suggested, and they seemed really uncomfortable with we suggested having a member that was of the city on the committee, and they seemed uncomfortable with it. But I'm glad that, you know, if you met with them, that they're looking to work together is great. And I think we should appoint, I used the wrong word because they're not asking for appointment. We should nominate someone that we think would represent well.
So do you have a nomination?
I would certainly nominate Mr. Councillor Awa if he were interested in joining that committee. We could nominate somebody from the public as well. I feel like it would be best to have the interests of the city represented either from staff or from council. I don't know. Either way, I think it's open to whatever, but I feel like we have enough interest in that area and enough interest in the decisions that they would make over that area that it would be more effective to have either staff or council as opposed to, you know, a member of the public. But either way.
Councillor Kumalik?
Thank you. I would much rather we nominate from the council, because I remember the Inuit Heritage people came to make a presentation because they want to dig up some artifacts from the Silver Grinnell River with those old sod houses, and I think those are right in the city limits. And having someone from the council with an authority to represent would be better, because then we would be informed rather than having to go through a public member who has to go through a process where they go to a committee meeting, write up a report, then come here and present. Anyway, that's just my thought, but I'm either way. It's just that someone from IHT came once before asking us for a permit to dig up it in the old sod houses area. And I think that was a bit of concern for some council members. And then we need to look at what the land claim said. So that's just my thought. Thank you.
Thank you. Councillor Nuttuck?
Yes, good evening. The Rigaton Inuit Association, Parks Division. The land is open to the people of Iqaluit. I think we'll be the first. I think we'll be the first to have a tourism committee that is under the QIA. Because the area is under Iqaluit city lands. Part of the park is in within city boundaries, and some of it is outside of city boundaries. So because of that, it would be good if we can have a councilor or staff be on the committee. However, there is a but. I am asked to come and speak at meetings like that for different groups. And that is why I'm not interested in being appointed, and I would prefer if Solomoni is appointed or nominated. Thank you.
Councilor Awa, do you accept the nomination?
Yes, I do.
That makes everything a call for a vote. I guess Councilor Stevenson moved, Councilor Nuttak second. I'll call for a vote. All in favor? Unanimous. Thank you. Yeah, you're. It's okay to vote for that. Yeah, unanimous vote. Thank you. Thank you. Moving into C, new business C, a vacant council seat. I did prepare. I didn't prepare it. Staff prepared it. I should correct myself. Some information from the Elections Nunavut on what we are able to do as a council. Typically before, they were used to be able to run by-elections, but we're not allowed to run by-elections anymore. Where'd it go here? This is it, but...
That's something else.
Yes, that's something else. Yes, thank you. Sorry for the wait. There's two options. The first one is choosing from the list of unsuccessful candidates in the previous council election in order of ranking, or two, putting out a public call for interest and to choose from a list of eligible candidates to appoint. Councillor Nuttak?
Yes, I'll be saying the old policy. Sometimes we don't consider the list of candidates that ran before, and sometimes we consider the person who was second in the elections, who came closest to winning. I have no idea who that was. Or council can choose to not man that person or not appoint anybody to that person according to our policies.
Wasn't an option that we received from leaving the seat vacant was not an option we received from the Nunavut Elections board, and you know, rightfully, I don't think it's proper. We have 3 years left in our term, as of tomorrow actually is 3 years plus 1 day. And I think it's important that we fill a seat, but it's up to you guys how you want to do that. Deputy Mayor Brewster.
Thank you and happy anniversary, everybody. I've put some thought into this, and I'm partial to being as close to the democratic process as we can be. and that is to offer the seat, the vacant seat, to the person with the next highest number of votes. I don't know what order the ninth person that would have been, the person who came in ninth. I think that's fair. And I think it reflects what voters in Iqaluit may have wanted. They had the opportunity to attend meet and greets with candidates. Most candidates showed up for the, was it a debate? I think it was a debate. And people put some thought into and took the time to go and vote, and that would be the most democratic process, I think.
Thank you, Deputy Mayor. Councillor Natak?
I didn't suggest that it be left open. I was suggesting that it should be the person that almost got in council, who was the next in line.
Councillor Awa.
Mayor Bell.
Thank you, Mayor Bell. I agree with Deputy Mayor Brewster, because when we were running for council, we had no idea who would get elected, and we didn't elect ourselves. And even though we're here now, that person was elected by the people out there, the person who almost got on council, because that person was elected by the people. And if we tried to select someone else, I don't think it would look good. I don't know what numbers they had in terms of votes. But people voted for that person that never got on. So, thank you.
Councillor Flaherty.
Thank you, Mayor Bell. So elections, Nunavut, these are our two options, is to choose from the list in order. So I just pulled that up. Or have a public call and council to review and appoint from that public call. I hear what everyone is saying about the first option being the most democratic. It does also make sense to me. I'm also trying to be mindful that the vacant seat that we have now was filled by an Inuk woman. If we pick from the list, it won't be an Inuk woman. Like, do we want to put weight on that, or because we're allowed to do both? Could we do a public call and then have the option to go back and pick from the list or the call? I don't know. That's my question.
I would assume if you did a public call that you should go for the public call, but I don't know. I would assume that you would do one and stick with it, but I don't know the answer. Councillor Stevenson?
Just in response to that, I would say, though we should probably pick one or the other, I guess if you did a public call and there were no adequate, public call means you evaluate, and if there's no adequate applicants, then you might be able to go back to the other system. But I think we should probably decide on one or the other. Yeah. And, I think I'll leave it at that. I think Councillor Awa had something to say.
Councillor Alba.
Thank you, Mayor Bell. I believe that as the people vote because of their thinking there that that person might be able to sit in the city council. And I also believe that even if we say that public call, it means that we have, as a city council, has not really listening to the public. So I'm going to stick with the last list. I also want to respond to that as Inuk. Anybody can be the council member. Anybody. That means that it got to be voted by the people of Iqaluit. So we are here because we were voted, and I think that we should stick with that. The last person was almost gotten, but it was just behind that. So that's what I'm going to stick with. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Awa. Councillor Stevenson?
I guess I'd like to speak to that as well. I agree with Councillor Awa that we're a public government, and that means that anyone can be a part of this government. I would love to have more women and more Inuit in this forum as well, but I think the place for encouraging that would be both in the nomination period and then also, you know, more holistically in things like education. Unfortunately, that doesn't help with the fact that it's difficult to encourage those things when it's not reflective in the in what people see. You know, if people go to a board meeting and most of the people are men, or if people go to a council and most of the councillors are men, then it's more difficult for that to be encouraged in our young women who might be interested in being leaders. I think that needs to be acknowledged. I'm sure that's, you know, the sentiment behind Councillor Flaherty's comment, without doubt. But, you know, I guess in the end, I would have to say I agree with Councillor Awa that, I mean, it's for anybody, and I don't feel like that would be a safe choice for us to be putting weight on that at this point.
Thank you, Councillor Stevenson. Councillor Kumlik.
I'm good either way. I've experienced this previously. I can vote either way. And if we want to keep this free, like no cost, then we can consider this ourselves. The question I have is, the person who almost got on, what if that person is not interested in appointment? What would happen? Maybe right after that, we would have to select someone else. Thank you.
Person is interested. I do have his phone number to call him. He was obviously interested right off the get-go, because as soon as the resignation came in, he did acknowledge that he would be interested if the chance came. But if the person wasn't interested, it would be the next person in line. And if that person wasn't interested, it would continue down the line until the person was interested. Councillor Kumlik?
Thank you. With those statements, I would move to nominate or appoint John Fawcett to become a member of the council, effective tomorrow. Thank you.
That's a move. Do we have a seconder? Councillor Awa? Do you want me to give him a call?
I think we should just vote on it.
Okay. Yeah, good. We'll just vote on it. Yes, our comments, questions, concerns about the motion. Councillor Shepherd?
Have we vetted the eligibility at this point in time? All accounts are up to date, perfectly eligible to be a city councillor?
We haven't done that.
It would be
the appointment would definitely be contingent on his eligibility to run in the election, of course. And we do have a list of eligibility and disqualifications here too. So we'll make sure. He I know he was at the time of election, but you know things change obviously. Councillor Nutter, did you want to speak?
Yes, I want to speak. If that person almost got on council, I think that'd be okay to nominate that person or appoint that person. I've been here for 24 years at council, and that's the only person we should look at in appointing, and if we can look for someone else if that person is not interested. Because I know I've gone through this previously. I'm just talking about what we've gone through before. Yeah, I like the fact that we will be appointing a person who almost got on council. That's it. Katimuji.
Any other comments, questions, concerns? Seeing none, I will call for a vote. All in favor? Unanimous. Thank you, everybody. Moving on to Councillor Kumlik, did you want to say something? No?
No. Okay. I'll leave it for the next.
Okay, thank you. Moving on to new business D, appointment of Vice Chair, Recreation Committee. Obviously, with the resignation of Ms. Lucasy, we have two committee opportunities open, which is, as you see on your agenda, the next one will be grievance, but this one is recreation. I don't know if you guys are interested in waiting until the new member is here to have the conversation. Councillor Stevenson.
Thank you, Maribel. I personally would suggest waiting, considering especially that it's a vice chair, so there is somebody else to hold down the fort in the time period between now and then at least our newest member would have an opportunity to say yay or nay to that.
Councillor Kumlik, did you?
Yes, I do too. Thank you.
Okay. Councillor Awa?
I third the person.
And NetTech is giving me the fourth, so okay, we'll skip over this one and we will revisit it at a next council meeting. E, I'm assuming we're going to do the same thing. Perfect. We will skip E, the appointment of the chair of grievance committee, and wait for the new member to take part. Moving on to new business F, which was one of our additions. Is a request for decision, Housing Task Force consultant work. Jeff Byrne, Economic Development Officer, is here to present to us, and the floor is yours, Jeff.
Hello, Mayor and Councillors. I'm here tonight to request decision to search for funding up to the amount of $100,000 to provide consultant work for the Mayor's Task Force on Affordable Housing.
Thank you, Jeff. Councillor Shepherd.
I'll move the recommendation.
Thank you. Councillor Stevenson seconds it. Comments, questions, concerns? Councillor Kumlik.
Thank you. I'm just trying to think forward ahead. When will the task force be deemed they did their work and done?
June something of 2021 will be our final report. There may be a chance to continue the work after that, but we will have substantial work completed and ready for a report by that time. Deputy Mayor Brewster would like to add to that.
Thank Thank you, Mayor Bell, and thank you, Councillor Kumulik, for your question. I think it's really important to note that as we're moving forward in this work, especially the work of the subcommittees, that some of the subcommittees have very timely advice to give and recommendations to make that will come prior to the creation of a final report and final list of recommendations and actions. So so there will be kind of a staggered approach to the work of the task force. And you know, there's some incredible work already being done, and so we can expect to start to see recommendations coming, I think, as early as November. There's a lot of really hardworking people that are involved, and so so the final report and recommendations will be ready in June, but there will be some hopefully actionable recommendations before that.
Yeah, perfect. Thank you, Deputy Mayor Brewster. You made me laugh there. Any other questions, comments, concerns? Seeing none, vote for all in favor. Unanimous. Thank you, everybody. Moving on to committee reports. A, Municipal Enforcement Detachment Department, sorry, monthly report, July 1st to September 30th, 2020. Rod Mugford, our Chief Enforcement Officer, who seems to be sore today, is going to present to us, and the floor is yours, Rod.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, members of Council. So tonight I'm going to be providing you with a quarterly report due to the fact that my reporting is a little bit behind and some time away from the office. So a summary of highlights from July 1 to September 30. There were 177 violation tickets issued. Of that, there was 28 written warnings, 17 verbal warnings, and a total of 17 towed and impound vehicles. There were 90 violations issued in respect to speeding, and of the 90 violations for speeding, 68 were for speeding 17 to 29 kilometers over the posted speed limit, 19 were speeding for 30 to 40 kilometers over the posted speed limit, 3 violations were issued for speeding 41 to 49 kilometers over the posted speed limit. There were 10 violations issued for driving while holding a handheld electronic device. There are 15 violations issued for operation of vehicle without financial liability, so in essence, no insurance coverage for that motor vehicle. 23 violations for operation of vehicle without a valid registration certificate. Additionally, there are 3 violations issued for operation of a motor vehicle without carrying required documents. 3 violations issued for operating an ATV without valid insurance liability. Operation of an ATV without wearing a helmet. And operation of vehicle without securing a child in a restraint system. There were 2 for operating a vehicle without the proper class of license required to operate the motor vehicle. And we had 3 for driving without due care and attention. And 8 violations were issued for fail to obey a traffic control device. In relations to animal concerns, there were a total of 4 dog attacks through that period. And dog bites reported. Violation tickets were issued for all dog attacks, as well as the dog being at large, and as well as the required licensing requirements under the Responsible Pet Ownership Bylaw. The subtotal of fines for that period was $27,975. I would like to mention an amendment in relations to our current departmental staffing levels. The chief, myself, sergeant, we have 1 municipal enforcement officer and 1 trainee for a total of 5 staff members. I know, a total of 4. One thing I'd like to highlight with council, because I'd like to bring to the attention of some of the things that we deal with on a day-to-day basis and sometimes the nature of situations that we get involved in, which are unforeseen. We did have to call on the assistance of the RCMP due to an individual who decided to flee from a traffic stop. By doing so, put the officer in danger because they were outside their vehicle, standing next to that vehicle when that individual decided to flee, and that also puts risk to the community. The officers conducted themselves in a very professional manner. They followed the vehicle. They were able to get the vehicle to again stop and to detain that individual until the RCMP members arrived and deal with that situation. So officers, you know, they do use reasonable and sound judgment in issues of that nature. So I just want to make council aware that we did have the call for assistance to be rendered by the RCMP to assist with a fleeing individual from a traffic stop. Thank you.
Thank you, Rod. I actually witnessed the slow speed chase right from my own eyes. I was outside my, I saw the vehicle be, I didn't see the vehicle be pulled over, but I saw they had someone pulled over at the top of the one-way street as I was going home. And then when I got into my driveway, the gentleman was taking off with them and they were shortly behind him. So I watched pretty much the entire event, and you know, I think that municipal enforcement did a great job. You know, I can't believe that the guy ran. I don't understand where he thought he was going, but I'm glad that one, that we got the vehicle off the road, especially because of no insurance. But is there any questions, comments, concerns for Rod? Councillor Stevenson.
Thank you, Mayor Bell, and thank you, Rod, for the presentation. I don't actually have a question or concern. I just wanted to say that this is fantastic, and I'm amazed that we didn't do this before, and this is a great addition to our council agendas.
Thank you, Councillor Stevenson. I actually want them to be on Facebook and Twitter, and, you know, as public as possible, because you know, they do a good job, and you know, the public don't see all of these things, and that's one of the reasons I wanted this report to be at council on a very regular basis, so that the public does get an opportunity to see what's going on. One of the big concerns I had heard of prior to the election, and even during this last year, was the use of handheld devices while driving, and I see here that your members have caught 10 people just over the last little while. So, you know, great job, and keep it up. So thank you, Rod. Any other questions, concerns? Stevenson, again, go ahead.
Thank you. I just going through the list of the bylaws that you have to enforce. Obviously, that's the things you enforce. I don't see, like, the zoning bylaw. But is it, who would enforce it if, you know, somebody is, and I think this, maybe we switched this all to the GM, that's what I'm actually looking to confirm, but like, if somebody's building without a permit, somebody's, you know, got a shed on their property that's not the right size, that's no longer us that would deal with that would be the GM, is that correct?
No, so with zoning regulations, our general plan, what happens is if we observe something, we question planning and development, they give us the information in the background, or if we receive a complaint. So once we gather that information, planning department will let us know, yes, this is a violation, so then a notice gets issued. We deliver the notice. If they fail to conform to that notice, then we will take direction from the planning and lands department, and if that means we have to issue a violation notice, we will. The majority of the time, we get the voluntary compliance when we go with the follow-up and whatnot. So we essentially still cover that bylaw. And I know that's, when I put this together, I put the most of what I could formulate and think of the high generating, but I can tweak this and I can put in other bylaws as well and touch on them during reports.
Thank you.
Deputy Mayor Brewster.
Thank you, Mayor Bell, and thank you, Rod, for your report. A couple of things. I know that there were some pretty major accidents this year that happened like in the middle of the night. I'm wondering if those drivers were fined. The issue of hours of operation has come up publicly, and I wonder if you can speak to that. Thank you.
Thank you, Deputy Mayor Brewster. In relation to your first question, Under the Traffic Safety Act, the RCMP respond to all of those motor vehicle collisions, whether they're single vehicle or whatnot. They determine whether charges are laid, whether they're criminal or summary. So if there's speeding involved, they may. For that, I can't answer because it is an RCMP portfolio. In relation to our hours of operation, yes, we are limited. Right now, I technically have one frontline officer. I have one trainee who doesn't have any authorities. There's the sergeant who does a lot of administration under my direction, and then there's myself as well. So we try to get as much done as we can. With that amount of staffing, we look at 9 to 5. With additional staffing, there is a plan in place where we could provide 7 a.m. to 11 p.m. at night, and we could provide an on-call service for various things. So as of right now, at our staffing levels, the biggest concern I get from staff is staff burnout and lack of downtime to regenerate. So if we work Monday to Friday and we're on call, that individual get called out at midnight, 1 o'clock, they have to get ready, go to the call, they have to return home, try to go back to sleep, and then get up for another regular shift. So it's health and safety, and it is other factors as well on behalf of staff why we're not able to do that right now.
Thank you, Rod. And I believe that there's going to be a proposal at budget period for extra staff. Perfect. Councillor Flaherty.
Thank you, Mayor Bell. That was my question, actually, because you've edited it to 4. So what would be, like, that's not full staffing level. So what would be the full staffing level? And then secondly, is the zoning bylaw what you deal with? Isn't it here in the first column, fifth row down? That's...
Thank you, Councillor Flaherty. Yes, you're correct. I missed that. So in that, there is 8 complaints, so I could itemize which I do believe there was 6 unsightly lands and 2 zoning that were dealt with in that 3-month period. To move on to your next question, which is a difficult question, I think it's something that would have to be discussions with administration. There's different formulas that municipalities all across Canada look at to evaluate the need for the number of enforcement officers. It's a ratio. Usually it's 1 for every 800 residents. So if you factored in that ratio, you look at, we have approximately 8,000 residents. So we would need, you know, the numbers itself, we would need a higher staffing than we have right now. With the current departmental staffing structure that we have, with a minimum of 4 regular enforcement officers, it's tight. Like, if the level of service that the community requests, then we have to look at it. It's more than me just throwing out a number. We would have to look at it and what level of service. After hours and on calls, what do we respond to? Do we respond to every call? So it's a very difficult question for me alone to answer. It's one where a collective thought process would best suit. Thank you.
Perfect. Thank you, Rod. Deputy Mayor Brewster?
Is dispatch keeping track of calls that come in when... your team isn't on service, and are you compiling that data?
Thank you, Deputy Mayor Brewster. Dispatch does keep a record. The audio is more of a record keeping than the actual writing down of it, but they do as best job as possible. Urgent calls are passed on to us the next business day. I do take a running tablature of what's coming in after hours. And there are a number of calls coming in after 5 o'clock, Monday to Friday, and there are a number of calls coming in weekends and after hours. So if I, off the top of my head, from what numbers I've looked at, it's not significant, but there are calls of service that would, you know, in a reasonable person's, you know, way of thinking, should be addressed or would need to be addressed, you know, such as a dog being hit by a vehicle, nobody knows who the owner is, it's laying on the side of the road, it's in need of attention, There's also, you know, complaints that come in, driving complaints that the RCMP can't address, is the word I guess I'll use, that, you know, there is a significant health and safety risk to the community. So that would be a patrol that we could do and probably locate that individual. So we do keep a running log of what calls are coming in. And I would say we average anywhere on weekends, anywhere from 3 to 7 calls, Saturday, Sunday combined, and we're averaging anywhere from 2 to 3 during the week. Thank you.
We could probably add that people have stopped calling because they know that they're not on. Yeah, and you know, you pointed out in your question about the crashes, right? Obviously, at nighttime, the majority of crashes are happening, and it's probably due to speeding and people just not paying attention to the road because they know that enforcement is not doing anything during those time frames. Councillor Kumalik?
Thank you. Thank you, Rod. How's the department doing with equipment, your equipment, whether it be winter clothing or such?
Thank you, Councillor Kumalik. This year we're doing really good. I have a happy bunch of people. I can say, you know what, we've got our equipment replacement plan. The biggest thing was uniforms and having all the full requirements. We've met that demand. We have newer equipment. Anything for preventative maintenance we're getting taken care of. So we are doing really well when it comes to our day-to-day equipment. It's just formulating, you know, a going forward plan to make sure we don't go back to where we don't have the appropriate equipment and we don't have the tools at our disposal to do the job. And this is something I want to make is like known to council is that, you know, if we don't have the tools and equipment, we can't do the little jobs. And if we can't do the little jobs, then we can't do the big jobs. But we're working really hard and we're achieving what we need to provide that service to the community and to keep health and safety in mind for the department.
Thank you, Rod. Councillor Awa.
Thank you, Mayor Bell. Perhaps I'd like to address some of the comments. And from what I hear from the public and Department of Human Resources may need to go and look at this. I think you are already all aware of the work that you do every day from 9 to 5. You start at 9. If we asked, can we change the hours of operation, if I ask that question? Like work from 9 to 12. Oh, does anybody ever call between 9 and 12 in the morning? If nobody ever calls in the morning, then maybe those hours, there should be nobody working, and move those hours somewhere else. That's why I mentioned Department of Human Resources should review it. Like people ask, where is the bylaw officer after 5? And the mayor stated earlier, and there are people who speed because they know the bylaw's not working. And some people think like that. So I just want to say, you probably already know, there may be a way to, what period do you get the most calls? If they got the most calls in the morning, then maybe one person could work in the morning shift and have more staff in the afternoons. Maybe you could play around with the schedule like that. Might work better. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Go ahead, Amy.
Yeah, thank you. No, those are good comments. Municipal enforcement and has been talking to dispatch to get some of the statistics for when those calls come in. It's also important to remember that they have a fair amount of administrative work that needs to be done during the day. They have to attend court in the mornings. And so that's why the staff have to be scheduled in the mornings, because a number of them have to go to court for tickets and so on. They also do other things more than just enforcing the bylaws that are here that you see in the report. They manage all of the city's risk management and claims. So if somebody's putting in a claim to the city for something, they investigate that as well. So they have a very big role in the city. So I just wanted to mention that. Thank you.
Any more comments, questions, concerns for Rod? Seeing none, thank you very much, Rod, and we look forward to the next update, of course. Thank you. Ten B, Planning and Development Committee of the Whole Report, October 20, 2020, Councillor Kumulik, Chair. And the floor is yours, Councillor Kumulik.
I think I got my, okay, sorry. We met on the 20th, and I got two recommendations, PD 2057. Committee recommends that council not approve development permit DP 2043 to Kudlik Construction Limited for the installation of a fall-away temporary structure at the North Port 40 Quarry.
You move. Councillor Stevenson seconds. Perfect. Thank you. Any comments, questions, concerns?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Why do we need a motion for a negative?
Yes, we
motion
don't.
Like that. A motion shouldn't be required.
Yeah, this is. I think this is the second time we had the same thing from the committee. Yeah, we don't need a motion. So let's just take that right off the. Off the table and just move into the second item. Councillor Stevenson?
Yeah, I was going to raise the same issue, though. I think the reason why we need a motion, I think why the clerk is nodding, is because we actually did move this as a negative in the committee meeting, and we should never have. If we're not going to recommend something, we should just not recommend it. We don't need to make a motion. But we did make a motion in committee to recommend not to approve this, so we actually, I think, do need to do this.
But
we shouldn't be here in the first place, I agree.
You are correct, yeah. So we do need a motion for that. So Councillor Kumulik moved, Councillor Stevenson a second. No other comments, questions. It's still defeating the motion. I'll call for a vote, all in favor
Of the motion
to defeat. Yes. Councillor Awa, are you okay with that? I'm confused too, don't worry. So we shouldn't have brought this forward, but because we made the motion at the committee to not approve the request, we need to make the motion now. So we're still not approving the motion. Everyone else is in favor. It's up to you. Yep, in favor. Nuttuck, you voted, right? In favor? Thank you. Yeah, so that was a unanimous motion to defeat the motion. Yes, thank you. Thank you, Tammy. You were both very correct. We should just have not made any motion. Councillor Kumulik, the floor is yours.
Thank you. Sometimes it's interesting to be in council. My next recommendation as the chair of the Planning and Development Committee, PD 2058, the committee recommends that council direct staff to conduct background research, consultation, and implementation of the cabin construction program in accordance with the action plan outlined. I move.
Deputy Mayor seconds. Comments, questions, concerns? Seeing none, I'll call for a vote. All in favor? Unanimous. Thank you, everybody. Councillor Kumulik is done. Yes. Yeah, it's moving into the next one. C, Cemetery Advisory Committee, October 21st, 2020 report. Councillor Kumulik, the floor is yours.
Thank you, Mayor Bell. We met on the 21st, and it was interesting because we had a lot of people attending. And some were not attending. We will be posting approved minutes on the website, and the staff gave us an update on cemetery remediation project, and we also have an update from the recent council meeting, funeral fees and charges, explained by the CAO, and we talked about engaging partners to support funeral expenses, and the committee would like to recommend to the council to pass a motion to direct administration to draft a letter regarding a cost-sharing model to send potential partners such as Government of Canada, Government of Nunavut, and Inuit organizations. We've been trying to get an elder member, but we have been unsuccessful, so we're trying again. And we also talked about the radio and calling show on CBC that Martha Naudla, representative from NTI, and Amy participated. Thank you. I move that motion.
Councillor Stevenson seconds. Comments, questions, concerns? Councillor Shepherd.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I don't have a problem with the motion, but the original motion passed by this council already addresses engaging all potential partners on this, but I'll vote for the motion.
Any other comments, questions, concerns? Seeing none, I'll call for a vote. All in favor? Unanimous. Thank you, everybody.
Thank you, Matt. Mayor Bell.
Moving to 11 correspondence, we do have one requiring a motion from Moshokote, Manager Research Liaison, Nunavut Research Institute. The application is for Kara Brisson Bovian. Research is titled Young Canadians in a Wireless World, YWCC Phase 5. Right. And a motion is required. Councillor Shepherd moves. Deputy Mayor seconds. Comments, questions, concerns? Seeing none, I'll call for a vote. All in favor? Unanimous. Thank you, everybody. And now we need to take a break. Yes. 5-minute break. Back into business here. Need a motion to go in camera. Councillor Stevenson moves. Councillor Shepherd seconds. All in favor? Unanimous. Thank you, everybody. We are now in camera. Andrew is there, yes.